Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Prairie. And we'll make it very short because we're going to turn the program, transition program, over to Aaron and the others. Aaron?
This morning, we are calling it the transition service or program. And it is to honor these eighth grade students who will be leaving the RE program this year, and they're also graduating from eighth grade. So we are going to celebrate that happening today. I thought to begin, I might read just briefly the goals for the Prairie RE program. And as I read these over, I thought, these are wonderful goals. Now, we won't ask these students whether we achieved all these goals, maybe, but there certainly are good goals. To encourage young people to see their lives as a process of learning, growth, and change. To create an atmosphere in which questioning attitudes, oh, they have those, are encouraged rather than one in which absolute answers are provided. To help children develop their own beliefs and make them central to their lives. To provide familiarity with the stories, myths, and teachings of the great traditions of humanity. To encourage an understanding of and appreciation for the natural world. To help children be aware of their value and importance as individuals, and at the same time, recognize the equal importance of others. And to develop a feeling of community within the church school and within Prairie society as a whole. And that last goal is definitely one that we are trying to achieve this morning by having you be a part of their transition service. Many other religions have, I forgot our song. That's right, we need to open our songbooks because they really like to sing. The kids like the singing parts. So it'll be, pardon? Oh, that's right, that too. First we'll do our song. Okay, number 15, This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to ask Aaron to light the chalice for us, and today we would, can you go get, is that? And there's matches on the piano. Today we thought we would light the chalice in honor of these years you spend as a middle schooler and a high schooler, or teenage years from like 10 to 18. And I think she's going to get it on the first try. Very good. I would like to first introduce these students, since you are going to need to know their names in a few minutes. This one, right to my right, is Nora Bosch. Then there's Lily Sandler and Aaron Dopp and Greg Nettleton and Dan Stevenson. Now, they did have their names. Some of them seem to have disappeared, which is just going to make it more challenging for you later. I want to give you a little foreshadowing of what's going to happen later on in the program so you can be thinking about it. If I had had the time, I would have been glad to attend the storytelling workshop that was at Prairie, but I didn't have the time. But it's usually been my practice whenever I am called upon to do one of these services, I usually incorporate some kind of storytelling segment into it. And I'm going to do that again this morning later, and I'd like you to have a chance to think about something you'd like to share. I think it's real important to share memories and that sort of thing. I think the last program I did was a welcoming ceremony. And at that time, I asked people to share memories of their children or themselves as younger people. And I remember Dick Bonzer told this story about Jeff as a baby, sitting there with his bottle, and his generous streak was apparent even then, because he'd say to him, "Could I have some of your bottle?" And Jeff would go, "Sure." And I just thought that was so cute, and I'll always remember that. And whenever I see Jeff, little does he know. But I think about that. So today, later on, I will ask you to be thinking of a memory of yourself, perhaps, at this age, at eighth grade or thereabouts, that you would like to share. And it doesn't have to be anything terribly amusing or anything, just something you might like to share. Or it could be some words of wisdom that you have, some advice to give this age person. For example, my advice might be to, if possible, savor this time in their lives, because I've known people that seem to always think, I can't wait till I'm a junior in high school or a senior in high school, I can't wait till I'm in college, or I can't wait till I'm married and I have babies, and I can't wait till this baby is toilet trained, or always, I can't wait, and that's easy to fall into, but it's really good if we cannot fall into that and to really enjoy the place we're at. And so this morning we're going to celebrate the place they're at. But I do want you to be thinking about something to share later on. We're going to begin by playing a getting to know you game. And I will have people pass these out. You can take one too. I asked the parents of these students, pass them out to all the people, off the chairs. I asked the parents of these students to come up with a couple of statements that describe these students. And your task is to figure out which statements describe which student. And I bet I don't have pencils.
Oh, go ahead and get some?
Yeah. Sure. Forgot that.
I only have two.
Yeah, you guys can have one since you don't know what. It is so warm. Did you put my phone in here? Yeah. put my fan in. I don't know. Is there any extra ones? Now, to help you out, should I go for the names once more? Nora, Lily, Aaron, Greg, and Dan. Now that helps a lot, right? Okay, now I'm going to read the statement and just shout out who you think it is, and when I hear the right answer, we'll say yeah.
I don't think the parents should be allowed to shout it out.
Okay, all parents must be silent. Isn't that great to be able to say, tell them to shut up, and I do. Okay, number one, this person's cat believes it is this person's child and nurses on this person's fingers.
Lily.
That's correct. Very good, right away. Lily was correct.
Can I say how I guessed that?
How did you guess
that? At the Valentine's service that Orange ran, and we had to say what we all loved, Lily said that she loved laying in bed with her cat laying on her reading.
Very good. Okay, number two, this person's newest obsession is attending Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight at the Majestic. Is fool enough to take them there. Okay, number three. This person goes through reams of paper doing architectural drawings and drawing maps. Oh, wow. Unanimous. That's right. Okay, number four. This person's mother cuts his or her hair.
Dan.
Yeah. She's a little off kilter, huh? You've already known that. It was Dan. Okay, number five. At age two, this child disappeared in a clothing store. After noticing a rack of blouses swaying back and forth, he/she was discovered inside the rack, swinging from his/her knees.
Aaron.
Very good, Aaron. It's Aaron. You know, you guys are pretty good here. Okay, number six. This person often rescues about to be squished bugs.
Aaron.
That was Aaron also. I thought I'd fool you by two Aarons in a row, but. Number seven, this person fainted on stage while appearing in a production of The Little Match Girl.
Nora.
Another unanimous one.
Nora?
Yes, it's Nora. Number eight, this person was told as a two-year-old to stay away from electric outlets. So for obvious reasons, he/she would move towards said outlets with finger outstretched and a wicked smile on his face. I heard a Lily out there. That was right. Lily. Number nine. This person wants to be an English teacher. How did you know that?
Oh.
Okay, number 10, by process of elimination. If you've been paying attention, this person took a bicycle along camping in the Rocky Mountains and was shocked by the realization that after riding 3 miles down the mountain, she would have to ride 3 miles back up.
Greg.
So, how many got 10 right? Anybody get 9 right?
That's impossible.
8? Ooh, very good. Very good. 4 of you, right?
Well, they all hear it.
Okay, well, I need the prize was to help me bestow the chalices on these students. So since your parents, forget it. But we have Al and, what's your name?
Al.
Oh, you're a parent too. Nuts with you. Melissa, come, Melissa. You get the prize because the parents kind of had an edge. You know? Okay. Now when I say your name, you have to stand up and come over here. These things we're bestowing here are UU chalice, like charms, I guess you'd call them. They're suitable to put on a pin or on a necklace or elsewhere. And they're the Unitarian Universalist chalice, which is the symbol of our denomination. Hold that one. And they are traditionally given to this age youth, either at the end of eighth grade or sometimes at ninth grade. And it's our way of doing a coming of age ceremony for them, similar to, you know, the Jewish faith has bar mitzvahs and others have confirmation and that sort of thing. Well, the chalice is our way of recognizing this stage of life. So the first one would be Nora. Who are you, kid? I even get our names mixed up. And I'd like to say a little something about them also. Nora likes being in plays, and she likes to go shopping on State Street, and she likes babysitting. She really likes little kids a lot. I also asked these students to prepare some little thing to read at this time. Just, I told them it could be funny or thought-provoking, but short. And so I think most of them remembered. And this, when they're getting their, before they get their chalice, I'd like them to read what they want. She's not going to read the whole book.
Okay, this is the giving tree. And it's about this tree that gives this boy all this stuff. And this is, after a long time, the boy came back again. "I'm sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give you." "My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them." "I am too old to swing on branches," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. "You cannot climb." "I am too tired to climb," said the boy. "I am sorry," sighed the tree. "I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I am just an old stump. I am sorry." "I don't need very much now," said the boy. "There's a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired. "Well," said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could, "well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit down and rest." And the boy did, and the tree was happy.
Okay, now this is, Melissa, would you like to tell us how you managed to get this honor? How did you know all those answers? Have you been listening to, or just good guesses?
Both.
You can tell by the looks on their face. Now, when you grow up, I think you should think about mind reading, palm reading or something. So, Melissa, you could give her challenge.
Thank you.
Okay, next is Aaron. Stand up. This is alphabetical by last names. Aaron really likes the UU youth group. She's been going to a couple of conferences and she has a great time. She also feels strongly about animal rights and she is, therefore, a vegetarian. And what would you like to read?
Only two short little things, and they're both sayings, and one is from Natalie France. "To accomplish great things, you must not only act, but also dream. Not only plan, but also believe." And the other one's from a friend. I don't know where she got it. Her, "Change is the most difficult, yet most necessary idea."
Could you go through that one again?
Change is the most difficult yet most necessary idea.
How very appropriate for today. Okay, you want to give her a shout? Next is Greg. Greg likes to play soccer, and he likes to ski and read and watch TV. And he remembered to bring something, too. This is really good.
Okay. This is from Shoeless Joe, and that's what they made the movie Field of Dreams from. The process is all so slow, as dreams are slow, as dreams suspend time like a balloon hung in midair. I want it all to happen now. I want that catcher to appear. I want whatever miracle I'm party to prosper and grow. I want the dimensions of time that have been loosened from their foundations to entwine like a basketful of bright embroidery threads. But it seems that even for dreams, I have to work and wait. It hardly seems fair.
And last is Dan.
Hey, not
no,
me.
Lily.
Oh, not last Dan, but he's next. Dan is next.
I think before Dan.
You're right. My alphabet is pretty bad. So go ahead. I'm flexible. Lily is an avid movie buff and enjoys going to plays, and you can often find her at West High School in the box office during their plays that her mother directs.
Okay, this is from Anne of Avonlea by Ellen Montgomery. Okay. It's a pretty good world after all, isn't it, Marilla? Concluded Anne happily. Mrs. Lynde was complaining the other day that it wasn't much of a world. She said whenever you looked forward to anything pleasant, you were sure to be more or less disappointed, that nothing ever came up to your expectations. Well, perhaps that is true, but there is a good side to it, too. The bad things don't always come up to your expectations, either. They nearly always turn out ever so much better than you think.
Last is Dan. He is very social, and he is also very interested in a lot of things, and especially girls.
Who said that?
I said that. I talk to a lot. And what did you bring to read to us today?
I brought a little bit of David and Goliath. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David.
I did mention bar mitzvahs and confirmations. Well, in American Indian cultures, there is a tradition at coming-of-age ceremonies that a person with a mask comes in and encourages the young people to think about their own identity by chanting, "Who are you?" And we have that tradition at Prairie also. We'd like to sing another song. It'd be number 16, Today. amazed when looking through this songbook how many songs really fit the theme here. It's a good songbook. I did ask, and I forgot to ask them this morning if any of them remembered, to think about a memory of Prairie that they would like to share with us before we share our memories. And I said it could be a memory from, you know, in the RE program or any type of Prairie memory. Did anyone remember? Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. Stand up.
Sure.
Okay. Well, you've probably heard this before, but I remember having to stop and look at, you know, all the dead leaves and the grass and the dirt and, you know, everything and anything that was, you know, by the path. And it really frustrated me then, you know, to not be able to run around, because that's what I wanted to be doing there. I didn't want to look at leaves. And I couldn't run around, and, you know, it was really frustrating. But now it seems really funny.
Anyone else?
I always remember going out in the woods, and since my birthday is around that time, we usually brought a birthday cake, but we always got there late. We just have to eat the birthday cake.
I remember at the talent show the first time Frederica did I'm a Little Teapot. And I also remember when we went on an age hike and we were with the Scopes, and so we were all walking slow with Erica and Katie, and my brother went around getting all the stuff we were supposed to get.
I also remember nature hikes, and I remember one time when I saw a snake, but I jumped for it and I caught it, and then finally I let it go after examining it for a while.
I remember a nature walk with Eileen over at the arboretum on the way here. Also, I remember that they taught us about, like, being honest. If someone be a storekeeper and really be a customer and really buy something, like a ball, you know, the change to her. So then she was honest and gave it to you.
Good role playing, yeah. So, well, those are all good memories. Now I hope you've been thinking. I would like you to share a memory of yourself as a teenager or an eighth grader, or if you have any words of wisdom or maybe story about how your child was, if you had ever one that was this age. And as I said, they don't have to be long or short or amusing, just a memory. And I will get you started by telling one that I can remember being actually this exact age, the end of eighth grade, and we had an eighth grade party at school, my Catholic grade school in Chicago. And my mother, who was a widow, had never chaperoned anything, so she decided she was going to chaperone this. And she got her widow friend, whose daughter was my friend, and they were going to be a couple and come and chaperone. So they did, and that was fine with me. And then the band said, okay, now this dance, we're going to have all those sons whose mothers are chaperone. You're come and ask your mother to dance. So my mother walked up to me and said, I don't have a son here. You have to dance with me. So I said, all right. On the one hand, I was kind of pleased because I could do a mean foxtrot even then. My mother and I were pretty good, actually. So I thought, well, look, they're going to see how I can do this. And they never knew I could, you know, foxtrot too much in eighth grade. So we began to dance, and we're doing quite well. And I noticed my friend on the sidelines making some kind of gestures at me. And I suddenly realized what the problem was. My mother has this tendency of holding you in this vice-like grip when you dance, because it's easier to follow that way. So here I was smashed up against her, and my friend is trying to tell me that this doesn't look good. So when one time when she twirled me out and I came back, I kind of stiff-armed her. So I didn't come back quite as close as we were before. And later on I thought, that memory really stuck with me, and I thought it was an indication of where I was at right then. On the one hand, I was ready to not care what my peers thought. And on the other hand, I wasn't quite that ready. So it's like, I will dance with you, but don't hold me that close. And that's, I think, quite typical of this age. Anyone else? Anne?
I can remember eighth grade real well. It was 63 to 64. And November 63, President Kennedy was killed, which was very terrible. And I remember our eighth grade teacher making us do a scrapbook about President Kennedy's death, which was, I thought, was kind of morbid, but that's what she made us do. That was the first time I pulled an all-nighter. And then there's something good happened a few months later. The Beatles came to the United States. So I had something to be very happy about, and it was a typical 13-year-old girl all salivating over it and enjoying it very much. So it was an interesting year.
When I was in eighth grade, I was in a school with seventh and eighth grade were together. We had a room of probably about 25 of us. And the teacher decided one day that she would ask all of us what we wanted to be. And so we went around the room and she came to me and I didn't know what I wanted to be. And so I said that, I don't know. And then she asked me, well, wouldn't you maybe want to be a missionary? And I was a minister's child, and that was very last. And I didn't want to have it called attention to the class that I could possibly want to be a missionary or want to be even a preacher's kid. It took me about 20 years to get over that.
Eighth grade was the first time that I finally got to wear stockings. And this was a real rite of passage. And I was one of the later ones. In sixth grade, one of the fast girls had gotten to wear stockings. And we would all gather around her and rub her legs. It felt so cool. And so finally in eighth grade, I got to wear stockings. And I was on my way to growing up.
Oh, I always had homemade clothes. My mother was an excellent seamstress. Everybody else wore store-bought clothes. And to me, this was the most wonderful thing in the world to have something store-bought. So then I must have been 12 or 13, I protested that I've never had anything, you know, from the store. So although it was a real sacrifice for my father, he gave me probably it was $12 or 10 or something like that. So I went down and I bought a halter top with a midriff, and I can't remember whether it had shorts or a skirt, but it was, you know, in spite of the fact this was really embarrassing to my parents to have me wear something like this, they didn't make me take it back. I thought that was very tolerant of
them. Yeah.
When you first said that, I thought, oh, let's see, what memories do I have of being in eighth grade or leaving eighth grade? And I remember at that point in my life, I'd never gotten good grades. I did really, really poorly in all subjects. And I never studied. And it really started to bother me at that age. I started thinking about high school and college, and my self-image was all wrapped up in that. And I was pretty convinced that I really couldn't do well, even if I tried. And I had this one class where we had to do a paper on a career, and so I did a paper on teaching. I went back and interviewed my kindergarten teacher, and I did all this research, and my mom helped me type it up and everything. But the teacher had these rules: if you use the word "I" in a paper, you go down one grade. If you do this, you go down one grade. Or if you start the sentence with "and," you go down one grade. All these things. So all this work I poured into it, and she had to flunk me on the paper. I got like an E when she handed them out. And it just killed me, and I became determined not to care about what these weird teachers thought. And that's my advice to you. Whether it's a teacher or a peer or an adult or anybody, or yourself, convincing yourself you can't do it. I mean, I went to college, and I got 4 points when I started to try. So blow it off. Blow other people's, in your own opinion of yourself off when it's negative. You know what you can do, and when you want to, you'll do it.
The year that I got confirmed, I was finally old enough to go, and the church that I belonged to at the time was going on canoe trips, and the minister of the ULC that shared the building with the Advent Church, the Lutheran Church I went to, his family owned a cabin up in Eland, Minnesota, and you go through the Boundary Waters in the Quetico, and I was so proud. I finally got confirmed. I was finally old enough and I could go on a canoe trip, and they were the most wonderful.
That's
what I remember about getting confirmed, was thinking, now I can do this.
Ken? When I think back from the time I was in junior high school, 7th and 9th grade, what sticks out in my mind is what I don't remember. I don't remember anything about the content of my class. Still, I mean, I presumably learned things. I got good grades the whole time. But in retrospect, the things that really stick with me are my relationships with people and the good times and the people who told stories. We had one science teacher, I remember, his name was Fred Reedholm. He told stories endlessly about, and he taught biology, about his experiences in the Yellow Dog Plains north of, it's a plains area north of Marquette, Michigan. And those stories and he also told the history of the area where I grew up. And so it gave me more of a sense of community, a feeling of connectedness. And then there were other individuals, too. I remember riding to school every morning with the school principal, since he lived a block away from me. And just the conversations I'd have with him along with the other kids in the car, the kinds of things that stuck with me. And then also kids I played with after school, all the activities we had. So, put some energy into that thoughtfulness, into those things, because that's what the student
makes you think of what power the teaching profession has, because here you have this good memory and a good influence, and then there's the other side, the bad influence. It can go either way.
Grade 9, and now I realize it was 1954.
You didn't have to tell us that.
And I remember that, and I think we talked about this earlier this year. At that time, girls were not allowed to wear slacks to school. And so the big event of the year was being able to wear pedal pushers to the picnic at the end of the year. And they were, you know, beautiful colors that year, lavender and pink and turquoise. And the teachers still made fun of us all while we were standing and wearing our pedal pushers. The other thing I remember is it was a time, in the 8th grade we got to graduate with caps and gowns and the ceremony. But we got to pick our partners, so everybody was running around negotiating who was going to march with who. And that year, for some reason, the boys decided to pierce one ear and wear earrings. In 1954. So the big deal was, I don't know who made the decision, but it was decided that if they couldn't graduate if they wore the earrings. So they had to remove the earrings for the graduation ceremony. And I remember that, you know, because that, as a fad, keeps coming back, you know, and people, I think, sometimes forget that sometimes people were doing that. I'm sure there was a fad years before that where men decided to have pierced ears and wear an earring.
So there's people, men your age, walking around with holes in their ears now. Rosemary?
I graduated from grade school in 1948. I always did it in leap year, 48, 52, 56. And that was just after the Second World War, and we were kind of into a recession economically, so skirts were way long. And here were these little girls of 13 up there in skirts 11 inches off the floor. They're modest to work their legs. But we got real sheer nylons, and since the war had ended, you could get nylon. And I remember, like Rachel, I had a lot of clothes that were made at home because my mother was also a good seamstress, and I thought store-bought clothes were the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread. And my aunts took me downtown and bought me all new underwear. And it was all nylon. It was my first silky-like underwear, including the garter belt that all those fabulous. To this day, I cannot wear a pair of stockings for 5 minutes without running them, so, you know, ways. We graduated from high school too, from grade school in caps and gowns also, and we even had pins and ribbons for us. They were black and cool on the dresses. But it was such a big deal. I had a permanent And we felt so top of it because we were the eighth graders. Then they didn't have middle school, so you had to go K through eight and then 4 years of high school. And little did I know when I went on my bike during that summer to peer through the windows of the high school, this big mysterious high school that was almost 2 miles away that I was going to, that we'd get there and we'd be lowly frosh and back at the bottom again. But for the time being, we were at the, you know, we were top dog, and it felt really great. We felt so grown up. I was 13.
Brad?
I remember an eighth grade in the most of 15 years of passage of silence, silence with regards to communication with parents, especially my father, and with most things, the reasons that are the seeds, the antecedents of results lie in a prior period. In my case, it existed 3 years before eighth grade. This is the time of your tail end of the Red Scare. A lot of stuff coming down about communism. I was trying to figure out the nature of the governmental system. And I started a conversation with my father, and I said, you know, it doesn't make sense at all to me that evil can reside in the nature of a structure. A structure is just...
You said that in fifth grade?
Probably not in the parts of the people that are in the position. And my dad just looked at me, and he laughed. And one of those very uncomfortable laughs, and said, "What is it that you get these ideas?" And we never finished that conversation.
Where did you get those ideas?
Betty?
Well, when I was 14, I had an aunt who was a gym teacher, and she'd come to stay with us during the summer and go to university. And she always did exercise and to keep fit. And at that point, I was just coming out of lab, and so I started doing exercises. And I did exercises every single night for years and years. And so then when I went to university, I became a dance major. And here I am, so old, and I can still walk straight.
In the corner there.
One of the things I most remember about eighth grade was I saw many of my peers being at all concerned about things that were going on in the world, whether it's political or social issues or animal rights or anything that was really going on. And maybe I was just narrow, but I don't remember anybody caring too much about it. But I know that some of the kids up there from my talking them over this year are concerned about that. Social and political issues, and I like that a lot, and so my advice to you is just keep on doing that and don't let anybody talk you out of it. You're released.
I remember several things from eighth grade. One, I remember going to a beatnik ball. That was like the first, for only dance that I can remember, at least in that age group that they had for us, and they called it the beatnik ball, and we all went in black, and it was a lot of fun. I also remember having my first really serious crush where it was mutual. So having a boyfriend and then one day deciding for no apparent reason that I didn't want this boyfriend around. I guess I wasn't ready for that. The other thing that, the first thing really that I remember is a teacher who, I grew up in a real small town in Kentucky and pretty narrow-minded, like a lot of small towns, but for some reason that particular school year we had a number of teachers, I guess there was a teacher shortage, a number of teachers that were imported from places like New York and New Jersey and that kind of thing, and I had an eighth grade teacher who was one of these, and he was a man, and he really motivated me, he really contributed, I think, a lot to my life, because first of all, I got real motivated in terms of being interested in school. I'd always been a good student, but just sort of didn't have an idea of being interested in things. And I got interested and he brought current events into the classroom. So that was for me a time when I first began to pay attention. But another way in which he contributed was I don't remember the words, you know, exactly what he said, but he talked to us one day, and I think it was towards the end of class at school, and it was just sort of real informal, it wasn't a part of the regular class structure, and he was just talking about what it was like to grow up and they have peer pressure. And he said, what I got from it was, don't worry too much about if you're not the most popular, you're not the most this or that. There are other things that are important in life. Next up, we're here.
Anyone else? We all storied out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were good stories, though. Mm-hmm. We even got history through the ages. Fashion history, a lot of fashion. So, well, thank you very much for your contributions. Now we know them a lot better, although we know them pretty well. This year, we've known this class pretty well, because Marty and Andrea and Karen have presented a few programs. So we know them really well, and we know some of you a little better also. So we'd like to end with a song. The title is Know Thyself, number 61. Stop, hold the phone. I forgot something. It must not have been in my notes here. We went to all this trouble last night. One other way we were supposed to get to know these students was because they gave me tape cassettes queued up to a favorite song. And so for 5 minutes before we sing a prairie song, we're going to listen to the kind of music that they're listening to these days. It's pretty surprising, actually, what they chose. Yeah, hit it.
Guess who picked it?
Well, you could try.
Rain is falling, full of memories of people and places. And while the past is calling in my fantasy, I remember their faces. The hopes we had were much too high. Way out. Thank you.
Second one was I'm turning away.
Okay. And the other one was Never Tear Us Apart by In Excess.
The other one was Somebody by the Freshmen.
And the last one was Show Me Your Soul by Red Hot Chili.
Okay. And for something a little different, let's try Know Thyself, number 61.
Thank you very much, Aaron, and the five young people. You know, I can't help but remarking that I remember when our children, Betty, my four children, went through this. And now, my God, it's what my grandchildren are going through.
Wait till it's your
great-grandchildren. Yes, yes. A little thing that helped. I noticed that when the chairs were set up, I came in and I looked and I said, my Lord, you notice every row is the same, but the row behind you is different, and the row behind you there is a different color all the way, and somebody had symmetry enough to make the same way here. Now that takes work. Well, joys and sorrows. Yes.
Let me just echo what Marty said. It has been a joy to know these children and to work with them over the many years.
Fine. I was going to ask Linda. Where is Linda? Yeah, I think she wanted to make an announcement there. Not an announcement.
I wanted to say something about the teachers this year. It has been a really good year for RE, and a lot of that is attributable to the teachers that we had. As I was thinking over all of the teachers who have worked this year, I realized that all of them have shown quite a commitment to children. Marty has finished just his, if not his third or fourth year teaching in Prairie. Karen Gross, who's also a middle school teacher, taught last year K through one, and liked that so much, she decided to teach again, but she wanted to try working with older children. She also teaches in Milwaukee and has, I think, met the challenge of working in quite a difficult situation in a Milwaukee school. The other middle school teacher, Andrea, in her day-to-day life works with families, helping them to reestablish good communication. In the 3-4-5 class, we had Dean Schroeder, who worked last year and liked it so much that he decided to teach again this year, and Mike Sheehy, who has enjoyed working with that group of children so much, he's coming back again to work with essentially the same children again. In the K-1-2 class, we had Beth Lovren,
who was on the RE committee. Oh, I wanted to mention about Dean. He's finishing teaching, but he's going to be on the RE committee next year. Beth was on the RE committee and then decided to teach. And Dana, I wish you were here. Dana was the other K-1-2 teacher. When I was talking to her family about having her teach, they mentioned that she does a lot of babysitting, and she not only goes and supervises the children, but she already always planned activities for them. Sounded good. Mm-hmm. And finally, in the nursery school, we have Anna Nettleton, who has just completed 4 years working downstairs. And our newest person, Emily Dixon, who began this year to work with children, and we hope she comes back next year. And finally, I'd like to thank Ann Fryer. It has been a real pleasure for our RE committee to work with her. She has so many good ideas. She's a good administrator, and she's very caring. And I remember last year, you had mentioned that you wish you had some plants for your yard. I hope you haven't filled it up, because we have a little something for you outside that we'd like to give you afterward.
The RE program has been very fortunate. Any other?
A lot of people probably know I've been working at the Wisconsin DNR since about the middle of January, and that has been a limited term position, and I'm finally getting their act together to hire somebody permanently. And I did well enough on the test to be one of the people who had been asked to interview, and since I worked there already, they gave me the first choice. I said, well, I'll be first. Get over. So I would appreciate whatever karma you can send me to the resident. 9 o'clock on Wednesday
morning.
I really would like to
get
this
check.
Rosemary.
I was asked by Judy Scott to make an announcement. This is the last 3 days in which people can make any kind of contributions or give us any kind of input for the Weatherby Fund. We are going to be drawing up guidelines for planning for administration of money that was donated on behalf of Dorothy Weatherby, who died last year. And there is a sheet of yellow paper, or two sheets, in the far left lower corner there, on which people have been making comments. I think the 15th May is the last day for input. We really do want to hear what people have to say about this, so that when the decisions are made and the administration's in place, everybody who wanted to give any kind
in
any way, we'll
feel that here she had the opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
And I feel like I need to say thank you for the thank you. But also, I've been very impressed by Prairie, by all of your dedication to the young people in the society. The fact that, you know, you had 3 services this year led by the middle school is a lot for your commitment to the youth of this society, and I find it really remarkable and wonderful. And I should also say that the RE committee deserves a lot of attention and appreciation, and especially when I go to these conferences for RE directors and hear the situation for RE in other places, it's not as good as it is here. And I mean, there's other places where it's very good too, but this is an exceptional place for its commitment to RE, so it's very appreciated.
I think something to the 8th graders. I think you all know about the lunches that we had started in March, and we'd like to continue those next year, and we'd really appreciate your input as to how often you might like to do that, or whether you would or not, and what adults you might like to have go along. We were also thinking next fall we would meet with any teenagers, including you, to find out anything else that you might like to do. One idea we had was to try to offer the possibility of a mentorship with an adult and one of you, if you would like to explore any issues more in depth, any issues relating to religion, philosophical issues, spirituality, anything like that, we'd like to make that available or just be make it happen for you.
Rebecca?
I feel the need to thank the prayer community. This is my 4th kid here. How did I get here? Sunday mornings have always been a time for my parents to be with my kids, and this is the 4th one, and she's the last one. You've been so wonderful to all of them, and I just want to thank you.
my family is a very emotional family. Any others?
Are we in announcements?
That's a good idea.
I have an announcement. On May 23rd, anyone who would like to come and tell stories, we will be meeting here at 7:30. We had originally said 7, so those of you at 7, get that out and put 7:30 in. So it's a Thursday evening. Folks who have been in the storytelling group, as well as others who would like to be, come and we'll talk about what we'll do in the summer. And come prepared with a story or two that you'd be willing to share that evening. 7:30.
Anne?
Yeah, I have several announcements related to membership. I'm real pleased to see this group of kids finish up the 8th grade, and I've known all of them since they were about this big, and I can have just memories of, actually, I taught all of them, I think, in K-2 class about 1984-85, and they were kind of little devils, most of them. I don't know if they changed any, but they're very independent.
Much bigger.
Much bigger, yes. I would like to remind them that the only qualification for membership at Prairie is to be 16 years old. And you can do it the day you turn 16 if you are interested. And I know most of you are not quite near there, but we have actually had one of our teams join recently, David Stevens and Dan Robert, and we need young people, so keep it in mind.
Now that's a real membership direction.
Then on to more mundane things. Rosemary Dorney, are you going to be washing dishes today? Well, Andrea can't wash today. She was supposed to, and she's going to be going out with some of the kids. So we need at least one or two other people to help wash up after the power. And you don't need to volunteer now, but please think about it. And we also need to have some people. I didn't want to pass it around. I didn't want to pass too many things. We are missing people to make coffee and greet visitors next week, and I'll leave this sign-up sheet out at the reading table.
Any other announcement?
One more reminder, Memorial Weekend, we have a group campsite reserved at New Blair's Wood State Park, and we'll be canoeing on the Sugar River. If you want to bike on the Sugar River bike trail, that's a possibility too.
Other announcement? Jake.
Today's the deadline for Prairie Fire again. I want to let everyone know that during the summer we'll go back to one issue per month for June, July, and August. There will be one more issue after this one, which will be the issue for all the June calendar events. So please be thinking ahead about what you would like me to print for those all-month issues, too, as well as just the next 2 weeks. Thanks.
Any other announcements? If anyone wishes to introduce visitors or guests, Annie?
I'd like to introduce Edith Nagler,
right here.
Yes, who is visiting Madison from Elgin, Illinois, and she's a member of New Society of Church down there and is in town for a relative confirmation.
Oh, I'm pleased to be here. I like the method that you have your service. We have a minister, and our announcements go on at least.
I'm glad we're not the only one.
Dan's aunt and uncle, my brother and his wife are here, and their children are down with Anna.
Nice to have you here. Any further? Fine, the potluck immediately following. And if we would sort of move the chairs and get the tables out, we'll be in a pretty good. Thank you for coming.